Welcome to episode 28 of Unapologetically Overcoming. I'm your host, Jess Marie. So it's 2023. Actually, 2023 is more than half over by now, and it's almost 2024. But there are so many different kinds of relationships out there. They've kind of always been out there, but I feel like we're talking about them more recently. My guest today is here to talk about the more non-traditional types of relationships. So if you've ever been curious about non-monogamy, polyamory, or open relationships, or if you're just open to learning about them, this is the episode for you. All right. I'm very excited to welcome my guest today. We are going to be talking about a topic that is becoming more common these days. So I think it's an important conversation to have, and I'm really looking forward to all of the information that she is going to be sharing with us today. So I'm going to hand it over to her so that she can introduce herself and let us all know a little bit about who she is and what she does. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And what do I do? So I, my name is Jess also, because it's a great name.
Perfect.
And like everyone in our generation is named that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
100%. So I think there were 16 Jessicas in my graduating class in high school. It's like insane.
That's
so, yeah. So yeah, I am, so I'm a therapist by background. So I've been a licensed clinical social worker for about, I want to say going on 7 years now. And, you know, I kind of work with a different niche in that area. But recently, I started a second business because why not? as a non-monogamous relationship coach. So that's what I have been kind of figuring out and doing lately. And I'm sure you will have questions about that.
Yes. And I think that's so interesting because I'm pretty sure you're the first person that I've come across that has specifically focused on that area in therapy. So I love it so much. And I love that you're willing to talk about it and share. So you yourself are in a polyamorous relationship, correct?
Yes. Yep, that's right.
Can you talk to us a little bit about your journey to getting to where you are now?
Yeah, well, it's been a journey. That's a very good word for it. So I am married to my husband of, we'll be together 9 years this fall and married six. And you know, I was what they would call like a serial monogamist. I was like always in one relationship after another. And, you know, not always like a ton of time in between them. And that never seemed weird to me, but other people seem to find it strange and make comments. So, you know, I dated all through college and stuff, and then met my husband on Tinder of all places. you know, the apps, that's where you meet people now.
I mean, I feel like that's also becoming more common these days. Yes. To not just meet people there, but marry them after.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we went on Tinder, and we dated, got engaged, got married, all that stuff. And then about 2.5 years ago now, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and we're all kind of like stuck on our phones. And I just started seeing all this stuff about broadly like non-traditional relationships and a lot on polyamory specifically. And I just you know, started reading and thinking like, am I just like interested in this, like intellectually, right? Like as a social worker and stuff, like, you know, humans are interesting. So
yeah, definitely.
But you know, after a while, I kind of was like reflecting on like my history of relationships and stuff. And I was like, you know, I don't know if this is just interesting or so, the more I looked at it, I did some more research and all that kind of stuff. And eventually I decided I was going to like bring this up to my husband, as like a, I don't know. And I only know so much, but I think that this might be something that I might be interested in. Mm-hmm. And, at that time I specifically wanted to, explore relationships with women because I had met him, pretty early, pretty young, and never really, I was a serial monogamous with men only, I should say. So yeah, so that was kind of my reasoning, which, the whole bringing it up, having that conversation is terrifying.
Sure.
Yeah, so but he is amazing. And he had like the most reasonable reaction that you could possibly have. I mean, he was kind of like, what? Like, where is this coming from? Like, what are you reading on your phone? Like, but nothing like mean or anything. He just kind of said, like, okay, well, like I need to like do some of my own research and figure out like what this means and stuff. And yeah, so I just kind of put it out there. We talked a lot. We had a very long car ride going to a wedding, where we like kind of like wrote out on paper like what kind of some of our fears were, what he or I were concerned about, what we felt like would be okay or not okay, just as like a starting place. Yeah, we kind of just started like that.
Awesome. So, for those that are listening that might not be familiar with all of these terms related to the more non-traditional types of relationships, can you explain to people what non-monogamy is, what polyamory is, and then what an open relationship is, just so that they can kind of get an understanding of how they're different?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I mean, they all would fall under this like umbrella, right? Of like non-traditional relationships or alternative relationships or so non-monogamy in general, that term is like the kind of the umbrella term. So basically it just means right, we know monogamy, which is you're having a emotional, potentially physical, sexual, et cetera, relationship with one person and one person only at a time. So non-monogamy is just the opposite, in general. So people who have relationships of any kind with more than one person at a time. And so sometimes people use the word open relationship kind of also as like a big umbrella term to kind of mean that. But I think that more so, some people will say, if they say they're in an open relationship or an open marriage or something like that, that often can also mean that they are, that it's within their relationship agreements to have like sexual relationships with other people, but maybe not necessarily like emotional, they may be friends and that kind of thing, but not like a, long-term, deep emotional type of romantic relationship. Whereas polyamory literally means many love, right? Polyamory. So polyamory is kind of a little different from that in that that is the desire, at least, right? Is to have potentially long term. It doesn't have to be. I think most, I don't know, people who practice non-monogamy in general, there's some level of like rejection of this idea of like, does a relationship have to be lifelong in order for it to be valid or add value to your life and things like that. So, not necessarily like length of relationship, but more so like the emotional depth and like the kind of things you do together, how you integrate them into your life and that kind of thing can be different. And then of course, another part of non-monogamy is swinging. And so that's a very like more on the open relationship side. It's more about sexual relationships and often is something a couple does together and swaps in some version with another couple. It's not always that way. But that's another like big category. So they're all very different, though we often all get lumped in together.
Thank you for that, because I think, even me coming into this, I'm aware of the different types of relationships, but the differences that you pointed out are things that like didn't really come to mind to me when I think about them. So, I think it's good for people to understand, because obviously with not knowing or misunderstanding comes a lot of misconceptions and stigmas
You
also.
don't say.
So, since we're on that topic, what are some of the stigmas that either you've experienced yourself or that you hear, through the work that you do related to these non-traditional types of relationships?
Yeah, I think there's so many, right? I think, like you said, a lot of the time it's just simply like lack of knowledge, and then people make assumptions. So there could be a couple different things. Big ones I see are, one is that it's all about sex. And so if I were a swinger, or if I were in an open relationship, does that mean that it would be about sex for me? Sure. But does that necessarily mean that, like, every person that I ever have any sexual relationship with comes over to my house every weekend and we all have orgies? And, like, no, like, listen, if that is like in your arousal template and that's what you want to do and everyone's consenting, go for it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's not like, non-monogamy in general is like, it's not just a sex thing, in that kind of way where, like, people never like have a normal human conversation, or like, even if what people are, wanting to get out of this life choice is primarily sexual, that doesn't mean that typically it's just like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, there's a lot of like, we want to connect with this couple or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that that's one big thing, is the sex piece. And even in like, polyamory, like, where that's part of it, but that's not like, for example, personally, like, my main aim, nor my husband's, nor my other partners. But like, I think sometimes people think like, oh, like, if your husband and your partner are together, like, do they do stuff? And I'm like, first of all, they could if they wanted to, like,
Right.
that's as long as
Right.
they're consenting and I'm aware. But like, no, it's not all about that. We don't just like hang out at someone's house and like walk around naked all the time on the weekend. Or maybe we do because we're fine with that, but
Right.
it's not this like weird, like, taboo. I don't know. So that's one big one, is the sex thing. And then I think another big one, and this one I definitely think, like, bothers me more so, is this idea that, non-monogamous folks, especially in polyamory, I get this a lot, is that like, we can't commit, or we don't want to commit, or this is just like a way for polyamorous people are like just doing what they're doing until they find the right person, and then they're gonna like ditch everyone else and like settle down with that person, right? Unfortunately, does that happen? Absolutely. Are there people that say that they are practicing non-monogamy and are not doing it ethically or consensually, or trying to cover up cheating or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. But it's the whole like, let's not let a few ap bad apples spoil the bunch, right? Like,
Right.
there's toxic monogamous people too. There's toxic, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So yeah, that commitment one is a big one. Like, I'll get questions, or everyone around me that's close to me is great, but from the larger like world and public, of kind of like, well, you're not really married then, or you must not love your husband as much as you used to, or well, doesn't your partner feel left out, or doesn't your this conception that like it's not possible to commit to more than one person at a time, I think is a big misconception for sure.
Yeah. I think that's so important because, I think obviously the reason that there are so many stigmas is because people don't understand it. So talking about those things, whether it be, with the people that you work with your friends, your family, like the more you talk about those things, the more it kind of opens up people's understanding so that they don't have those stigmas, but then they're also more knowledgeable, which is never a bad thing. Because, I mean, the reality is, there are probably some people who are maybe curious about that type of relationship, but because they don't know certain things or they think that there's going to be some sort of stigma attached to wanting to explore that type of relationship, that they don't do that. And that's kind of sad when you think about it, because there are people who are then like not living in their truth because they're worried about how other people will feel or think because of all of that stuff. So it's such an important conversation to have.
And it's so hard. And like, it's not as, I don't know if I'd say this like a misconception or what, I guess it could be, but like, there's like this idea also that like, people who are non-monogamous must like be entirely immune to like the stigma, or we never get jealous, or like things like this. And it's like, no, I'm still human. Like,
exactly.
I still doesn't feel good. Like, when you're talking about, when you're suggesting like whatever these kind of myths about me, like whether you want to recognize it or not, this is my family that you're talking about. And you wouldn't let someone speak about your family in the way that, you know. So yeah, I think for the most part, it doesn't come from a malicious place. It just comes from like, this is not something I've ever heard of, or if I have, we've got like very few frames of reference. One of the big ones is Sister Wives, the show on TLC. And I'm not here to like pass judgment on anyone, but like, that's one example that didn't go well. And so if that's what people imagine when they think about this, well, yeah, of course they're going to have, you know, but there are so many other examples.
Exactly.
And I think, like you said, just talking about this, which is why I like love going on podcasts and just being like, hey, look, I'm a normal person. I have insecurities. I get jealous. I just happen to have two people that I share my life with instead of one. That's all.
And that's why, again, it's like, I sound like a broken record sometimes, but that's why it's so important to have these conversations, so that people see like there are, you know, normal, I'm using air quotes for everybody that can't, you know, you can't see me, people who are doing these things that maybe other people don't think are normal, but they are. And, you know, just because
we're just
maybe,
normal people,
like,
and just, you wouldn't know, like, it's not like, you, I like to say this to people, like, it's not like, I went to my, both my partners and I went to like a function recently. It was a tea actually. And the people, most of the people there knew, but not everyone. And it's not like they look at us and there's like, our eyes turn red, or there's like smoke coming out of our ears, or there's like a brand across our forehead. Like, we just seem like three normal people. And like, unless you see us, like, unless you see me kiss both of them or something, like, you would literally never know. Like, we're not that different from anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the important message here, because let's be honest, there are many things, not just this topic, that people have a certain image in their heads about what that looks like. And there's a really good possibility that there's someone in close proximity to you who fits into one of those categories, and you don't even realize it because you have this idea embedded in your brain about what that looks like, and it's not it, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
That's really important. So if there was something that you would want people to take away from this conversation about, you know, your relationship, the work that you do, non-traditional relationships, what would it be?
Oh boy. I mean, so many things. I think like, well, I would say in terms of like my, you know, my life, my relationship, like what would I want people to take from that? I kind of said it, but like, this is not, we collectively realized this is not something that everyone wants to do with their life. And that's like absolutely fine. Like, we're not trying to convert people, you know, like, no. And I'm speaking, you know, for myself and my partners, but I do really feel like on the whole, the non-monogamous community we're not trying to fight to like prove that like this way is better, just that a non-monogamous style relationship is just as valid as a monogamous relationship. That's all. And that, you know, there should be no reason to continue the stigma, to have, you know, all kinds of other potential like discriminatory, you know, like, I do know people who have had trouble at work because of this or whatever. Like, no one's trying to like convert you. This is just a like, can we just put them both on the same level? And like, these are equally valid choices to make. And as long as all the people involved are adults who are consenting and being honest, then that's all. That's all it is. So that's like, my big thing. I think like in terms of the work that I do, a big thing that I would love people to know is like there are so many people who are at minimum intellectually curious about this concept, right? And my husband and I talked about this when we first started dating, like do we think monogamy is quote unquote natural? Not like is it right or is it good or is it have value? Just like biologically, is it natural? Well, the reality is that we can count the number of other mammals that are monogamous on basically one hand. So probably not biologically, right? But we're not those mammals. We don't have to, we have no problem with population, right? There's plenty of people in the world. So it's not about that. It's just, so therefore, like, it's just a choice, right? So I think there are so many people that are curious about this, whether you are like listening and you're curious, like for yourself, or just like intellectually curious or whatever, like that's also super valid. And I really would encourage people to like just give yourself a break from like all of the shoulds that the world puts on you. Like it's not gonna hurt you or anyone to like do a Google search or look up podcasts or read an article. I mean, I hope that you find things that are credible sources, right? But it's okay to like be curious about these things. It's, and it's for some people and it's not for some people, and that's okay.
I think people really need to hear that specifically because there's nothing wrong with being curious, whether it's because you just want more information about it, because more information never really hurt anybody. Like knowing things and learning things, I don't think is a bad thing. Or if it's for yourself, I mean, because you might not agree with it over here doesn't mean that me over here shouldn't be doing it. Like you said, if everybody that's involved in it is grown and consenting and you're not hurting anybody, why should this person over here care what's happening over here?
And I think we all just learned very, very harshly in the pandemic that humans are not meant to live in isolation.
No.
They're not. We are
No.
biologically not. There is like a so I would argue, not that this will like, solve all the world's problems, but like, doesn't it make sense that more connection is likely beneficial? That's all, just on that level, right? So if that's what that's all we're talking about, like we're just talking, like let people have the option. If you want to choose one individual to emotionally, intimately, et cetera, connect with for your whole life, and you do that, and you can be honest with each other and go through that with each other through the highs and lows, no matter what happens, figure out how to argue productively, all that stuff. Please do that, like by all means, right? And that was exactly what my goal was. That's where I was headed. There was nothing missing in my relationship with my husband that made me, it's not like that. I just, and so quite literally, people can judge me all they want and they will, but
Unfortunately, they will. That's just the reality.
But like the reality is, I'm quite literally just doing the exact same thing with two people. Like both of these men love me. I honestly think equally. My husband just said that to someone the other day that, I think her partner loves her just as much as I do. And what a beautiful thing. Like if he's okay with that, and he tells me all the time, like he'll like get weird, doofy smiles or like his eyes will glitter about things or whatever. And, he's just happy to see me happy and vice versa. When he, goes out with people or he comes home or he has a first kiss or he, whatever, like I'm genuinely happy for him. Does that mean it's always like that? No, but I'm an adult and we can, figure out how to talk about those things even when it's hard.
No, I love that. I mean, I think it's so awesome to hear stories like that because, again, it makes people more aware that it's not some weird, bizarre, dark, unnatural thing. Like, they need to hear stuff like this so that we can maybe try to break some of those stigmas and some of those ideas about what everybody is thinking.
Yeah, I think putting the real people and like face or voice to it is like it makes a difference. And like in the reality is it, you're never going to be happy living your life for someone else. And
Absolutely.
they're not going to do it for you.
Yep.
So,
Yep.
we just have to kind of make the right choices for us and
Yeah.
hope that, it works out. And, I think one other, I'm just thinking so many things, but one other thing I would just say quickly about, is, a lot of times people ask, like, Jess, you did the thing. You dated, you kissed the frogs, blah, 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 right? You got the guy, you have a house, you both have jobs, you like, why would you put yourself in that position again? To be heartbroken, right? Like dating is often not fun. Like there are lots of parts of dating that are not fun. So why would you do that? Why would you, when you've seemingly got it all, right? And like my response to that is I would much rather feel all emotions in a big, real, life-altering way than to only get like mid-level sort of positive feelings. I mean, I am happier now than I have ever been in my entire life. And I had 3+ breakups before I started dating the partner I'm with now. We've been together, actually, it'll be almost a year next week. So like, but that's worth it to me, like to be where I am now is worth the fact that like, yeah, I knew that I was gonna go through breakups. I knew that like, whether it was because we weren't a good match or because we just genuinely didn't want to pursue it anymore, that there were going to be endings. But that's okay with me. And it doesn't have to be okay with you. But, that's just kind of, personally would rather live my life that way. And not because I think I'm like self-righteous or whatever. That's just, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the possibility of hurt to explore things.
And it makes me think of like, you can't appreciate the sun without the rain. Like, you have to go through hard things and hurtful things in order to really appreciate the good things. So, I mean, anyone that tries to deny that idea, I think is foolish, my personal opinion. But like, you don't grow from experiences if you don't go through them. And that's literally what life is all about, like learning, growing, changing. Like, yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's not fun sometimes. It hurts sometimes, but it's really worth it to, get to the other side, because once you do, you can look back and appreciate it. In the thick of it, you can't. Like, let's be honest, you can't. But when you get to the other side, you really can. And you don't realize it until you've been through it, which is, and I
Absolutely.
say that a lot because it's the truth.
Absolutely agree.
So I am really big on inspirational quotes and messages, and I love my guests to share if they have a favorite one of theirs that resonates with them. Do you have one that you would like to share
Yes, love me some inspirational quotes.
with
So
me?
I'll give you two. So I'll give you a funny one. That's like, it's not really a quote, but this is just something that I say a lot and people seem to think is funny. So, and it's on brand, on topic. And then I'll give you like a real, actual. So the first one, when we get some of these like stigmas, right, and all this stuff, and sometimes people who are, maybe like can't really understand or worry that like, Jess, like she's like lives her life this way. Like, what if she wants to like, I don't know, like seduce my husband or like bring him over to that or something like this, right? Like, I don't get it a ton, but I definitely get, especially on the internet and keyboard warriors. And I really just want to say to them, like, This is not Pokemon. Like, I'm not trying to just catch them all. Like, I do not have time for that. I do not have a
Yeah.
desire for that. Yes, I am non-monogamous. No, I don't necessarily want to be non-monogamous with your husband. Like, it's not like that. This is not like a collector situation where I'm like a squirrel just trying to like collect all the nuts.
Right, let me see how many I can get today.
Right. Like, that's a, I'm sorry, but like, if you do relationships well, it's a lot of freaking work.
I
So,
mean,
like,
that sounds exhausting.
we call it polysaturated, but I am maxed out at where I am. Like, it's a lot of effort. So I just always think that's funny. People always like think that's a funny
Yeah,
thing.
that is funny. It's a great analogy.
So that's my funny thing. But yeah, I actually, I found this quote when I was in college and I got like a necklace that had it on it. And then as I kind of went through college, I never really realized. I think at each stage of my life, it has given me something new. And I've been like, wow, that's like so poignant. I put it on like my graduation cap and all that
I
stuff.
love
So
it.
it's by E.E. Cummings. It's it takes courage to grow up and become who you really are.
Love that so much.
And I think I've just come to so many points in my life, like when I was graduating college and put that on my cap, where I was like, it has taken a lot of courage to be where I am now. And I fought a lot of whatever it is, mental health, relationship stuff, own internal insecurities, whatever. And I feel like I know who I am now. And now I look back at graduating college, what, 8, 9 years ago, and I'm so different. But that's why I love that quote, because I think, growing up is a thing that we like use in a particular way, but really like we're always growing up and learning more about ourselves. So yeah, I love that quote. I always I just think it can speak to so many like different points of your life.
Yeah,
So that's my
definitely.
favorite.
I love that one too so much. Thank you for sharing that. All right. So, where can people find you as far as social media, website, all the things?
Yeah, well, on the interwebs, I'm there, right? We all are. So my website is still it's a baby website. So there's something there, but there'll be more. So it's both and coaching. So like BOTHAND coaching for, both and like we can have, want, love, need two things at the same time, and we can happy and terrified to do something, right? So that's where that comes from. So bothandcoaching.com. My email
Perfect.
is jess@both at the website. People who, if anyone's like curious, wants to kind of see like what kind of like content I put out there and stuff, and then like learn more about like my coaching and stuff, you can get a good feel for kind of like how I work and teach and stuff on Instagram or Facebook. So it's the same word name. It's non-monogamous newbies. So on Instagram, it's non-monogamous underscore newbies. And then on Facebook, I have a Facebook group called non-monogamous newbies. It's the only one with that name. You will find it, I promise. There's a picture of me, which I love and hate. I don't love being photographed, but we got to do these things. So lots of like free content there. I go live every week in my Facebook group on a different topic of non-monogamy. And I also think it's important to like point out that even if you're someone who's like, I am in a monogamous relationship or like, I'm not sure about this. One, the group is private, so no one's gonna like see that you're in it. And two, I think a lot of the content can still be really relevant to monogamous relationships as well. So if you're, that's where you're at, you're in that space, or maybe you're not in a relationship, but that's what you think you want. It doesn't hurt to join. You can always leave the group, it's okay. Same thing as like it doesn't hurt to Google something, right? I mean, come check it out. And you can see if it applies to you. And I chat with everyone on Messenger through my group and stuff. So yeah, I just like connecting with people and trying to, provide support where I can. And then for people who want to go further and really delve into this, I do have my coaching stuff too. So that's
Awesome.
where you find me.
Perfect. So I will link all of that information in the show notes for this interview. Thank you again so much for joining me. I really did enjoy this conversation. I think it's something, like I said at the beginning, that people really need to hear and listen, really listen, and leave the judgment at the door and really try to understand, again, whether it's just to learn so they're more aware or if it's for themselves. So I really, really do appreciate you joining me today.
No problem. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I really loved this conversation because I think there are so many misconceptions around non-traditional types of relationships. Without learning about this topic and all sorts of topics, you really can't understand them. I'd like to thank Jess again for joining me and for sharing her journey to polyamory and talking about the work she does. It's conversations like these that will help eliminate the stigmas around this topic. If you are interested in connecting with Jess or finding more out about the work that she does, all of her information will be linked in the show notes for today's episode. Thank you all for listening, and remember, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.